Nick DiGilio, that's me. We are live in the Allstate Studios on the seventh floor of Trip Tower here till midnight tonight. You can hear me regularly on my full-time gig, which is Monday through Friday, 2 a.m. to 5 a.m., the overnight guys. And you can hear us starting on Monday morning, 2 to 5. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. You can send your text to 24720. Like us on Facebook. We want to hit 9,500 fans. We're a little shy of 9,500, and it would be pretty awesome to hit that plateau. So help us out by going to facebook.com/NickDShow. And liking us, facebook.com/NickDShow.
Now, aren't you going to give the 95th 100 person and like special prizes or something?
No.
Oh.
But I don't have anything. What am I going to give them?
Wait, Cochran's got like this huge prize list in the morning. Don't they give you the same stuff to
give away? I don't have the same stuff as Cochran, but I have stuff to give away.
Oh.
And speaking of stuff to give away, we didn't get a drunk reader this week.
Huh.
So I don't know why you didn't contact Dan, because it involves you being on the radio, reading a drunk story, and winning a $25 gift certificate to Lou Malnati. So I don't understand how that's not doable.
Their brains must be frozen from the cold.
So I'm putting it out there right now. If you want to be a part of the Drunks in the News next week, then you have to send a note to Dan. And he'll get in contact with you. What you got to do is find a link to a funny drunk story and then send it to dlong@wgnradio.com. That's D-L-O-N-G, dlong@wgnradio.com, and say, hey, I'd like to read this on the air. You'll read it on the air, and you'll get yourself a $25 gift certificate to Lou Malnati's.
It'll be Rudy's Bar and Grill next week.
Rudy's Bar and Grill.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll give away Rudy's Bar and Grill next week. So there you go. All right, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We've got Drunks in the News straight out of context and Nick D Show Spies coming up in this half hour. And then after 10:30, Eric Childress will join us. We'll do some movie reviews and then really cover Sundance thoroughly. All of the movies that Eric saw at Sundance, we will cover.
How many? He must watch, what, about 1,200 films?
I have no idea how many. It's always kind of astounding to me. The amount of movies that he sees in a short period of time when he goes to these film festivals.
Yeah, he must not sleep, because they run them not only at different venues, but at the same time.
Yeah, they're all you have to actually schedule.
Yeah.
What you're going to see and what you're going to not see. How many did you?
Yeah, he said it was 25 in 5 days.
See, that's
ridiculous. Oh my gosh,
that's just insane.
Did he go blind or something when he was done?
He does this every film festival that he goes.
I know.
And I often tell him this. I'm like, you know, this has got to affect how you view some of these movies, because if you're on movie number six,
mm-hmm.
you're not going to like it as much as movie number one, simply because you've been sitting in the theater, at least in my estimation, you know, like last year, and I fully think this is true. I think I was harsher on The Hobbit last year because it was the second 3-hour movie I saw in one day.
Oh, how could you?
And well, I had to see it.
Well, I know you had to, but still, like you said, it's.
But that's what I'm saying. So
yeah.
I think I was harder on the first chapter of The Hobbit last year, considering I think this new one's terrific. I think the Smaug movie's awesome. And so I've not gone back to rewatch the original Hobbit yet, but I should, and I bet I'll like it more, simply because of that.
Well, just don't watch a long movie before you see
it. Well,
no,
that's
again.
What I'm
yeah.
saying. That
yeah.
was the, and it was like, and I'm not
yeah.
kidding when I say this. It was the second 3-hour movie that I saw that day, and maybe the fifth in 5 days. There were like so many 3-hour movies last year,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I'm trying to remember the movie that I saw before. I think the movie that I saw before it
was it a Potter?
It was Zero Dark Thirty, which is a great film and made mm-hmm. my top 10 list. But it's close to 3 hours.
Yeah.
And then The Hobbit was over 3 hours. And I was like, OK, I can't, you know. So I think
and
I
both
was,
of them
I was,
were
was,
excellent films. So, yeah. Like you say, if you saw the best of the two. First,
yeah,
you're already thinking about that while you're watching the second one. You're not thinking about the second one.
And I mean, everything last year was just, I mean, at the end of the year in December, November, December last year, there were so many long movies. I mean, it was like, oh my God.
Why are they making them so long?
I don't know. Wolf of Wall Street's over 3 hours.
And that's 3 hours I'm not going to waste.
Yeah.
Seriously, I have no desire to see that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was very excited about it. I just didn't like it.
Oh.
So I just turned out to be very disappointed. All right, let's do this Drunks in the News. Here's what we're going to do. We will read these stories of real drunk people doing real drunk things, and we vote on which one is the drunk of the week. And again, so we have a drunk reader next week. Send a link to a funny drunk story to dlong@wgnradio.com.
Go on, bourbon.
That's right. This is when we gather up all the stupid drunk stories of stupid drunk people doing stupid drunk stuff. We read them and vote on them, and it's called Drunks in the news. Wait a minute. What's going on? Oh, man. Somebody's messing with my buttons.
Where's your echo?
Somebody's messing with the buttons. Drunks in the news. So there you go. Ah, yes. Drunks in the news. All right. We've got to get this started. We've got some drunks to read here, and we have to vote. This is how it works. So why don't we go ahead and get this party started. Here we go. All right.
Want to tell you a story?
Yeah.
About the house room.
Drunk number one. Drunk number one.
I'm home one Friday. Had to tell the landlady I done lost my
A 51-year-old David Sherritt walked into a pub naked from the waist down. He was also carrying a bag containing items of a sexual nature when he went into the White Hart in Tunstall. Carer Sherritt said, then turned towards customers and told them, if anyone has a problem with me, they can take it outside. Police later arrested Sherritt after one of the drinkers saw the defendant leave the Roundwell Street Pub and walk towards a group of children. Now Sherritt of High Street Turnstall has been handed a 12-month community order after admitting causing harassment, alarm, and distress. The incident happened at around 10:10 p.m. Prosecutor Steve Knowles told the North Staffordshire Justice Center a witness at the White Hart saw Mr. Sherritt enter the bar. He wasn't wearing any clothing on the lower part of his body, and they were shocked by his appearance. He turned to face the customers and said, if anybody has a problem with me, they can take it outside. He then left the pub, and a short time later, the witness also left. Again, she saw Mr. Sherritt standing in a state of nakedness and decided to call the police. The fact that he was walking towards a group of children, police arrived. He was detained. There was also a bag containing clothing and items of a sexual nature that was handed to the police. They discovered that he was also carrying amphetamines. He told the police he may have taken too much of the drugs. Sherritt also admitted possessing a Class B drug and breaching conditional discharge. And he was also, the use of alcohol, he was also drunk. So he, magistrates ordered him to pay £85 in costs. Drunk number two! Drunk number two! 37-year-old Santa Cruz woman was arrested on suspicion of DUI Wednesday after a man wearing only boxer shorts was spotted clinging to her SUV's roof rack on Mount Hermon Road. Several people called police to report the man at about 12:25 p.m., said Scotts Valley Police Sergeant Wayne Belleville. The man was standing on the running board of a silver Toyota Highlander with his hands on the roof rack, witnesses said. Officers caught up with the woman, Sonia Helena Landis, at the Sky Park Dog Park near Kings Village Road. He was also at the park. She and the man knew each other, and the man lives on Mount Hermon Road, police said. Landis, who was in the dog park, was arrested on suspicion of driving under the influence of alcohol. She remained in the Sarah Cruz jail on Wednesday afternoon in lieu of $5,000 bail, according to jail records. So there you go. The guy hanging onto the roof of the car.
Down the streets I go.
Yeah. She, drunk number three. Drunk number three. A cunning farmer managed to catch a runaway bull by getting it drunk on vodka mixed with his feed. The animal escaped from the farm near Regensburg, Germany, in the summer, and the farmer has been trying to catch it ever since. It had been evading capture by hiding in the Bavarian woods, and the owner was starting to get desperate. He applied to the vets for permission to shoot and kill the beast if it was causing trouble in the local area. Local reports said that permission was denied, and he was unable to snare it. He tried tracking it for 6 months, shooting it with a tranquilizer, but it failed, and the bull was still running free. Then one neighboring farmer, Werner Denchant, came up with a plan after the bull wandered onto his farm. He tried to catch the animal with a rope while it was eating grain from a bucket first, and the bull ran off whenever he got close to it. It was then that he thought of a bottle of vodka that may slow the animal down enough to catch it. He was happy eating grain at the farm. The farmer decided to spike it with vodka. He was worried about the bull's health and to try a tranquilizer, but he thought pouring a bottle of vodka into the food would knock it out. When one bottle of didn't have an effect, he tried again a few nights later, and this time poured two bottles into the grain. After the bull became woozy, he looped a rope around its neck and managed to get him into the barn. The bull is now reunited, drunk, with his owner.
Here comes the bartender.
Doesn't look mad.
Yeah.
Come down here.
Drunk number four. Drunk number four. A former alcohol misuse campaigner has admitted driving almost five times the legal limit. Eileen MacArthur was found drunk behind the wheel of her car twice in the space of 3 weeks. On the first occasion, her alcohol count was 171 in the 100 milligrams of breath, and the legal limit is 35. MacArthur, 47, was a former senior planning officer for the Focused on Alcohol. She was sentenced, was deferred. She pled guilty to drinking and driving on the roads between Fofar and her home. She further admitted to driving and attempting to drive on Main Street and drinking, although she was unfit for drinks or drugs. MacArthur, who runs an event management company, was not in court for the brief hearing. The sheriff deferred sentence until next month for social work background reports. He also banned her from driving, and she could face a prison sentence. All right. Yeah, we got a vote here. All right, so here's what we got. We've got the drunk bull that was captured thanks to a couple of bottles of vodka. We've got the man with no pants on who walks into the bar with sex toys and says, "What's the problem?" We've got the ex-booze campaigner who was driving five times the legal limit, and the nearly naked man that was clinging to the roof rack while a woman was driving drunk in her car. All right, Dan, what are you going with this?
All right, I'm going to go with the woman with the guy on top of her car. I get nervous driving around with like a brake light out or something. But
yeah. Meanwhile, this guy's hanging onto the side of the car.
That's a guaranteed getting pulled over
right there. Okay. All right. And
strong week.
Yeah.
Very strong week. When you read that one about the guy hanging on, I was thinking, you know how people sometimes leave their coffee cup on their on the roof of their car or a purse or something. I could just see, you know, what they were saying. Hey, lady, there's a guy on the top of your car.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll go along with that.
All right. Yeah. It's unanimous because that's definitely the one that I think should win. And there you go. That's the drunk of the week. And same bat channel, same bat time next week for Drunks in the News. Drunks in the News. Yeah. Take a quick break. We got Straight Out of Context, and if you want to participate in that, you know what you do. You listen 24/7 whenever somebody says something that you can pull out of context and it sounds dirty and it makes you giggle. Jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to DLong at WGNradio.com. We've also got Nick D's show, Spies. That's when you listen 24/7. And if I am mentioned or the show is mentioned in any capacity, you're a spy. Jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to DLong at WGNradio.com. And again, if you want to be a part of Drunks in the News, send a link to a funny drunk story, DLong at WGNradio.com. That's the email address to remember. So when I'm in your neighborhood, you better duck, because Ice Cube is crazy as hell. F-bomb. As I leave, believe I'm stomping, but when I come back, boy, I'm coming straight out of context, context, context. Context, context. Tell them where you're from. Straight out of context, 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 context. Yeah, straight out of context. You know what this is. This is when you listen 24/7. Whenever anybody on the station says something that you can pull out of context and it sounds dirty and it makes you giggle, jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to DLong at WGNradio.com. That's DLong, DLong at WGNradio.com. All right, how many we got, Dave?
Six tonight.
All right.
Full chamber. First up from Wild Bill, it's Jill Urchak.
I almost said I like it hard, but I do.
Okay.
All right. Next up from Caroline, it's Scott Miller with Pete McMurray.
Okay.
I didn't even invite her in. I did it in the hallway.
Okay, next.
This one I had from last week, and I lost who sent it to me, so whoever this is, you know who you are. Sorry. And it's Wendy Snyder.
My upper orifices were liquidated.
Okay, and next?
Next up from Celine, we have Leslie Kiling.
Yeah, instead of pom-poms, they just shake their muffs.
God. Oh, Leslie. all right, next.
Next from Jake, it's Gary Meyer.
just want to bury your face in that thing and be glad you live in this country.
And last one, yes?
Yeah, finally from Dirty Dave, it's Wendy Snyder.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It was humongous and beautiful.
All right. I think Leslie Kiling takes the cake this week.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's do this.
Spies.
Like us.
That's right. All right. You know what this is. You listen 24/7. And whenever I'm mentioned or the show is mentioned in any capacity, again, jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to DLong@WGNRadio.com. How many we got?
Just the one this week.
All right.
And I actually wanted to get to it last week, but it got buried in my inbox somewhere.
Okay.
It's from Eric. Childress actually sent me this one. It's Johnny B.
All right.
Why did he say those lines? Why did he say...
Wasn't that in Magic Mike?
Nope.
No?
Mm-mm. Why did Matthew McConaughey come out and go, all right, all right, all right? There's a reason for it.
He was starting Nick DiGiulio's show?
Nope.
No.
Nope.
You got me.
All right, all right, all right. Well, you think about it. 312-235-2525. Hold on.
Hey. Yes, I. Unexpected, but graciously accepted.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, there you go.
Of course, you probably know the answer to that,
right? Well, that's from Dazed and Confused.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
His first spoken lines in film, that's why
he... Yeah, and he, I mean, he says it all the time, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, we've got that, it opens up my show, and mm-hmm. obviously that guy, the guy listens, so that's good. Yeah, this is the exact first time that you hear... Matthew McConaughey in Dazed and Confused.
All right, all right, all right.
That's it. That's the one. And this is don't forget about this.
That's what I love about these high school girls, man. I get older, they stay the same age.
That's right. Yes, they do.
Yes, they do.
And
let me tell you this: the older you do get, the more rules are going to try to get you to follow. You just got to keep living, man. L-I-V-I-N.
That's right, baby. Oh, man. All right. Hey, there you go.
Spies. Like us. Like us. Like us. Like us. Spies. Like us.
Hey.
Spies. Like us. Spies Like Us makes me laugh so hard.
All right. Now you know how that works. You listen, and whenever anybody says anything about me or the show, jot down the day, the time, who said it, send it to DLong@WGNRadio.com. We shall return. Nick DiGiulio here. We are live in the Allstate Studios here until midnight, and we've got some movies that we're going to review, but mostly we're going to be talking about Sundance. Eric Childress, who is our correspondent, always goes to these film festivals every year and saw a bunch of movies at Sundance, and we will talk about all of them. If you have questions or comments, it's 312-981-7200. You can send your text to 24720 or follow us at facebook.com/NickDShow. I also want to mention that my next film club event is on Tuesday, February 4th, and we will be screening David Cronenberg's The Dead Zone, based on the Stephen King novel, which for me features my favorite Christopher Walken performance of all time. The great Martin Sheen is in it, Brooke Adams. Really, really great movie. Very sad movie, but a great one. And we will be showing The Dead Zone Tuesday, February 4th. You can get your tickets now. You can reserve your seats right now if you go to MovieCo.com. That's MuvicO. MuvicO, MovieCo.com. Go to the seating chart, pick the seats that you want. They'll be waiting for you on Tuesday, February 4th. We meet at 7 o'clock at Bogart's, which is the restaurant on the second floor of the movie theaters. We'll have some drinks and some food and then hang out. And then at 8 o'clock, the movie starts in the big, beautiful premiere theater. It's digitally remastered. It's going to look great on the big screen. It's only $10 to get in. Only $10. There's some free popcorn involved and free parking. So it's a really fun, cheap night out, and you're going to get to see a great, great movie. So it's Tuesday, February 4th. Mark down the calendar and make your reservations now at MovieCo.com. Movie starts at 8. We meet at 7. And it's very easy to get to the MovieCo Theater in Rosemont. It's right off the expressway. There's free parking, like I said. And if you don't feel like driving, you can take the Blue Line. The Rosemont stop at the Blue Line is about a five-minute walk away from the theater. Very easy to get to. $10, free parking, free popcorn. The Dead Zone, Tuesday, February 4th. And come on out and check it out at MovieCo.com. Make your reservations right now. And let's welcome, well, first of all, let's do this. Yeah, movie reviews. That's what we're doing. We're going to get that out of the way pretty quickly because we want to get to all the coverage of Sundance. Some very exciting movies that we want to talk with Eric about. Eric Childress is with us. Colin is usually with us, but he is busy making a film right now. But he'll be back with us next week. It's Eric Childress and Colin Suter from eFilmCritic.com who review movies with me every week. And here's Eric. Hi, Eric.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm okay.
Staying warm?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Yeah, boy, oh boy.
I got my little mini space heater with me, and I'm doing just fine.
Yeah, it's going to be a long winter, man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, it's only January 25th. We're going to have this till like, March.
Yeah.
This is going to be...
Yeah, and just as usual, the movies are just crappy enough to want us to keep us indoors.
Well, what are we talking about this week? I don't even... what do we got?
Well, the only wide release that came out this week was I, Frankenstein. Did you see it?
No.
Me neither.
I did not see it, so we don't even have to talk about it.
No,
it looks horrendous.
I mean, you watch the previews, and the previews say from the producers of Underworld.
That's it.
Enough said.
Enough said. You know, it's really funny. Eric, do you watch Craig Ferguson show?
No, I don't really watch a lot of late night TV in general.
All right. Well, Aaron Eckhart was on last week, and. You know, like, they showed a clip, and Ferguson was like, what the hell is this, man? How is this a Frankenstein movie? What the hell's going on? You got birds flying around, and he's like, what? And you could absolutely tell that Aaron Eckhart knows this movie's a piece of crap.
Yeah.
And he was just, like, embarrassed, because Ferguson wouldn't stop. He was just like, this is ridiculous, you know? He's like, really, like, they showed the clip, and he's like, I don't even know, how is this a Frankenstein movie, you know?
Oh.
And you could really see that Aaron Eckhart was like, he had to maintain, you know, some sense of pride, you know what I mean?
Even sure,
but he knows it's a piece of crap, and you could absolutely tell. There was like this unspoken look, man, just stop it. I know this movie's a piece of crap. Let's talk about something else. It was a great interview. It was really, really funny. So
yeah, I wonder if Lionsgate's going to send any more interviewees his way for a while.
Yeah, I don't know, man, but it looks so bad. Oh, man. All right, well, if anybody saw I, Frankenstein and you want to review it for us, we'll get you on the air and you can talk about it. 312-981-7200. This is not the kind of winter where you're gonna go out to see a movie like I, Frankenstein.
No,
you know, I was like, yeah, I mean, should I just stay inside or should I go outside and try and see I? And I said, no, I'm not gonna do it. So if you saw I, Frankenstein, 312-981-7200. They did not screen this ahead of time, did they?
No, this is the fourth week in a row that they've opened something that they haven't screened.
Yeah,
yeah. So.
Can you believe the amount of money that Ride Along is making?
Yes, I do, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I said that it was going to do $40 million.
Wow, man. Why?
Yeah, because Kevin Hart, ever since the Think Like a Man thing, blew up. I've said that. I mean, he's got like 18 film projects already, you know, underway.
Yeah.
And I said that the Think Like a Man thing, and you saw that even his concert film did like $32 million last summer. That this guy's star is on the rise, and he's like the next big thing. And I just sensed it. I knew it was coming.
I don't get it, man.
Well, I don't get it either.
I don't think he's very funny, and I don't understand the. I mean, my God, the thing made like $40 million last week, and it crushed
and number one this week, and I think it'll be the number one next week too.
Yeah, I mean, it crushed I Frankenstein.
Yeah,
for yesterday. I mean, wow, man. All right, well,
it should have.
All right, well, okay. Sundance, you went.
Yeah, I did.
How was it?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, the same old stuff. You know, you try to pick your movies the best you can, and you certainly pick some good ones, and then you realize that you missed out on something that everyone else is talking about.
Okay,
It's always one of those things, and it's sort of luck of the draw. You know, I fill my schedule, you know, morning to midnight as best I can, and sometimes you just pick wrong.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll talk about that. How many years have you now been going?
Since 2003, so this is my 12th year.
Wow, man.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's crazy. And how long were you there?
I was there 6 days.
6 days.
Got there last Thursday. Got in a little bit late, so didn't get to see anything Thursday night. So over the next 5 days, I saw all the movies.
You saw 25 movies in 5 days?
Yes, I did.
That's absolutely insane.
That's I feel lazy.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
I do. There was some days. There was like one day where I only saw 4 movies, and I wanted to like lash myself.
Only saw 4 movies. You're nuts, man. You're crazy. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's do it. We can talk about all 25, man. We're here till midnight.
All right.
So I want to hear about the good ones and the bad ones. However you want to start off, just tell me what's going on, and I'll as soon as you give me the title, I'm going to IMDb it and be on the page with you. So here we go.
Well, we might as well start off with the best film that I saw.
Okay.
We'll just go right into it, because it's the film that everyone in Chicago wants to hear about.
Oh, sure.
And it's the Roger Ebert documentary Life Itself.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's very easy to be in the city and be biased towards this thing. It was clearly one of the films I was most looking forward to. And, you know, it's in the right hands. It's Steve James.
Yep.
And this guy's a master documentarian. And he did just a remarkable job with the story. It alternates between telling the history, Roger's entire history, and intercut with basically his last few months in the hospital. So it really is, you know, kind of an emotionally grinding experience, because there's just sort of, James has very unauthorized access to Roger during procedures, during, you know, sort of, you know, arguments that he would have with Chaz sometimes. There's really, really personal stuff in the movie. And then at the same time, going back into history, and we learn things during the documentary, things that, you know, weren't necessarily in his book, things that Chaz and him never talked about publicly. There's really amazing stuff in this thing where you kind of gasp a couple of times. You're like, whoa, I didn't expect to hear that.
Yeah.
And you know, at the same time, incredibly funny. I mean, the whole rise of the Siskel and Ebert show and everything, their relationship is really well documented. It's really a remarkably structured documentary. That was the thing that I, you know, watching the thing and having heard stories at the memorial, and, you know, so I knew some of these things that were going on.
Yeah.
But just the way it's told, it really does feel like the title. It really does feel like an entire life flashing before your eyes, and, you know, basically, you know, right up to the end, pretty much.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be, you know, anyone that ever crossed paths with Roger, or who just knew him from television or read any of his works or just familiar with him, this is a must-see for the ages.
Yeah.
It really is.
Okay, I can't wait to see it.
Yeah.
When are we going to get a chance to see it?
Well, there's a, like a fundraiser, like a thing happening at the Film Center, I think next month.
Okay.
But that's like $100 a head type deal.
Okay.
I know some major studios were actually circling the project at Sundance. So
okay.
It hasn't sold yet.
Yeah.
But they're working on it. And we're actually hoping to bring it to our film festival in May.
Okay.
We are going to see it. I'm sure, you know, if you go to Eberfest, it's going to play there for certain. So
right.
But you'll see it sometime this year.
I can't wait to see it. see it. I really can't. I was an interesting interview that Michael Phillips did with Rick Kogan.
Because,
mm-hmm. You know, Rick, obviously good friends with Roger.
Yeah.
And he said that it was too much for him to watch. He said that Steve James should have cut a lot of the hospital stuff out. It was too hard for him to watch.
Yeah, no, I mean, seriously, I mean, like, the first time you see Roger in the hospital, one of the first things you see is them doing some suction on his neck.
Yeah.
You know, you're actually seeing this procedure, and you're seeing that there's, you know, very visible discomfort on his parts. When you go back and you sort of experience everything that, you know, is basically leading up to these moments, you realize, you know, how remarkable those final, you know, these final years have been for him and what he's done.
Yeah.
Because what he says to James in the movie is that, you know, when Roger was watching a movie, he was always, you know, inspired when a movie would sort of give you the warts and all treatment.
Yeah.
And he said that if you're going to make this movie, do it that way. Because don't show people the icon, show people the man.
Yeah.
You know, and that's exactly what James does.
Okay.
And it's really a remarkable film.
All right. Well, it's Life Itself. It's the documentary about Roger Ebert. Everybody in the city is obviously curious about it and really looking forward to seeing it. Now, did they mention O'Rourke's?
That's the bar, right?
The bar, yeah.
If that's the name of it yet. I mean, there's a whole section of, if it's the bar Roger used to go and visit.
It's closed down now, but it was on North Avenue near Wells. And he had a regular seat. He had a regular stool at that bar.
I don't remember them saying anything about a regular stool.
Yeah.
But there are many stories that take place within this bar. And some really candid stuff too.
I bet. Yeah, I bet.
That was the name of it or not? Because there's a present. The guy that like owned the bar was a bartender there that knew Roger. There's like a present day stuff, and I think it's in the same bar. Maybe that wasn't O'Rourke.
Okay, because there were two bars basically that Roger would go to on a regular basis. There was O'Rourke's, and then O'Rourke's would close at 2. And the Old Town Ale House, which is still open.
Yes.
That's the one.
Both of those must be mentioned because that's absolutely amazing.
That's where Roger would go after the 2 o'clock bar closed. He would just walk up the street to the Old Town Ale House, which is open till 4.
Yep.
So a lot of history going on there, man. Mm-hmm. A lot of it. All right. Well, I'm really excited to see this movie, and I'm so glad that they did a good job, you know, because Roger was obviously a very important person to a lot of us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, take a quick break. Eric, hold on a second. There's Eric. He's with us. He went to the Sundance Film Festival. He saw 25 movies, and we're going to talk about them and preview them. And if you have a comment or a question, 312-981-7200. It's Nick DiGilio on WGN. Ah, yes. All righty, then. It's Nick DiGilio here. We are live in the Allstate Studios. Here till midnight, 312-981-7200. Full coverage of the Sundance Film Festival with Eric Childress, who went and is going to run down all the movies that he saw. And, Eric, welcome back, sir.
Thank you.
All right, let's go for the next one.
Okay, I'll jump around a little bit, the one that I'm sure you want to hear about, and that's The Trip to Italy.
Okay.
And this is a sequel or follow-up, however you want to put it, to The Trip with Steve Coogan and Rob Brydon.
Yes.
Yes, and Michael Winterbottom directed it again. And this you find these two guys going off on another trip full of food and locations and impersonations. If you like the skimmed down version of The Trip, the film version the first time, you will probably enjoy this one as well. It's in some ways it's very much the same as the first movie. In other ways, it does improve on it a little bit, simply because the locations in Italy sort of lend themselves to sort of greater type of stories and a little more, you know, sort of history and intelligentsia and stuff like that. It really helps if you know a lot about Lord Byron. in this movie. Okay. I'm just saying. There's a lot of discussion about Lord Byron in this movie. But then, you know, they can't resist going back to the Michael Caine well.
Of course.
But this time, and you'll appreciate this, is that they actually they take the Michael Caine route from The Dark Knight Rises, and it leads to them basically doing impersonations of Christian Bale and Tom Hardy as Bane fighting with the assistant director on the set, doing those voices.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, so that's about one of the funniest scenes you're going to see all year.
Yeah,
It's not necessarily not a great film. It does seem a little padded, a little bit, you know, a little extra filler in there. It doesn't have. I mean, it tries to go for those personal things. Like, you know, it's the Steve Coogan, you know, the lout part of Steve Coogan and his family and whatnot.
Yeah.
And, you know, that stuff doesn't quite work as well here. But the locations are beautiful. The food looks great. The two of them are clearly very funny together.
Yeah, they are. I love Steve Coogan. I just love him. I just think he's so great. I got to say, I'm just really happy that he got nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah.
For the script for Philomena. I was like, all right, cool. Good for him, man.
Cool.
Good for him. Yeah, I thought the trip was great. I just did a remarkably entertaining movie and so much fun to watch.
Yeah.
The fact that they're in Italy here means that the food is going to be, I mean, my guess is magnificent.
It's ridiculous how many portions they get.
Yeah,
I mean, you're sitting there and you're like, ooh, that looks like a really appetizing meal.
Yeah.
And it's like the first of like five portions.
Oh, yeah.
And each one is like its own, you know, its own dinner. It's like ridiculous. Yeah. Like the third portion is pasta, for God's sake.
It's
like, Mike, how do they eat all this?
That's how they eat in Italy, man. It's an all day thing. When you sit down for a meal in Italy, you better be ready to consume a lot of food and drink a lot of wine.
You can actually go from hungry to stuffed just by watching one meal.
Yeah. I'm not surprised. I've never been to Italy. I've always wanted to go. Everybody who tells me that they've gone, I mean, you all you do is eat.
That's all I would do.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's my favorite kind of food, too. All right. Okay. We'll take a quick break here. Eric, hang on.
Mm-hmm.
We got the news coming up. Eric's going to be with us, and we are going to be talking more about these great movies that Eric saw and some not so good movies that Eric saw at Sundance. We've talked about Life Itself, the documentary about Roger Ebert that he loved, and a very entertaining sequel to The Trip to Italy with Rob Brydon and Steve Coogan. Lots of food, lots of fun, and two very funny guys. All right, we will break here, and when we come back, we got news and then more with Eric. If you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN.